All right, so it's a little different this morning. It's a...
There you go.
Oh, there you go. I was like, where'd it go?
Too.
All right. When's the last time you were in a classroom? If you're a teacher, it's not fair. Right. So we are excited to be able to share with you this morning, excited to see what the Lord has for us. Jamie's going to tell you a little bit about how this came to be.
Yeah, this is different for us too, so don't worry. I mean, we're in the same boat with you guys. But we're going to do something different this morning, and the Lord revealed this in a really cool way. What we're talking about, we're continuing Steve's series through 1 Corinthians, and just the overwhelming message of this letter to the Corinthians is unity. And Paul is writing to a church that is just fighting and divided and kind of splitting against each other. And so the message that Paul is giving this church is unity, and that's continued in what we're going to be dealing with too. And as Jason and I were talking through this and praying through this, this is how the Lord revealed to do it, is not divide it down the middle and go one after the other, but he said do it together in this way. So that's why we're here like this. We're sitting on the floor and on stools because that's more comfortable. But the Lord did tell us that this is how he wanted to do this, with us together. And it's a little more difficult that way. It's a little different that way. But we're excited to see what comes of it because, man, this is just such a great picture of what the Lord has for us in Corinthians, this message of unity. And so we're going to try and be unified. We're not going to try. We are going to be unified together as we talk today. We're not going to divide it down the middle. We're going to go back and forth and let the Holy Spirit lead it in unity. And so we are pumped about it.
I feel like I have the advantage because Jamie is not comfortable with silence at all. And if you guys know Jamie at all, he can talk and talk and talk and say a whole bunch of things. You're like, whoa, where does this come from? So all I have to do is be quiet, and I know he's going to start talking. So if I run out of something to say, I know Jamie will have my back, so that's part of it. And also, there's two of us, so twice as long we stay. Is that how that works?
I think so.
Yeah, okay, definitely. That's why we have seats too, because, man, to stand for an hour is a long time. We got a tough crowd, Jamie. I was afraid of this. All right, this is a totally different kind of setup, so you can relax a little bit. We don't have a whole lot of notes. We have the scripture in front of us, and we think it's purposeful this way because of the topic we're dealing with. Points directly to the Spirit leading, and Paul mentions that it would be a full demonstration of the Holy Spirit whenever he spoke to the Corinthian church. So we're still at the beginning of the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And if you want to, you can bring it up to culture if you'd like, if this will help you in your imagination. But imagine a church much like this, where people come together and they worship and they talk about Jesus and they talk about their faith. They have people that get in front of them and preach and teach and those things. And by the way, that's what this is going to be about, a combination of a whole lot of teaching and maybe a little preaching if it comes to that, but that's not our goal. Anyway, so on the area of recap, I just want to spend just a little bit of time, since we're early on in the book, to kind of recap where Pastor Steve has been and where we're going to go today, and then where he will be back in chapter 3 next week. So we're going to look at chapters 1 and 2 to start out, and then predominantly we're going to be in chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. And feel free, Jamie and I, all week long have both, we didn't know we were doing this so long ago, looking at 2 Corinthians whenever we talk about it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2 is completely different than 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So it was very confusing for us to do that. So if we say 2 Corinthians, we don't mean that. We won't be there at all today. So just hear 1 Corinthians, okay? Hey, let's pray together before we jump into this. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And Jesus, we love you. Thank you for these people that are here this morning. I pray that you will give them ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, the truth is that we can hear from you and we can see you, Holy Spirit, come upon this place in power. And we only want to say what you'll have us say. So, Father, reveal yourself in unity and peace and grace that you're about. In Jesus' name we pray, agreeing. Amen. All right, so I love 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, because it's really clear who this is to. Listen to this. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, All right, so this letter is unashamedly to believers that go to church, sanctified, meaning they know who Jesus is. Now, it's very important that we know that, because what Paul is going to deal with pretty quick, what we're going to talk about today, you would think, wait a minute, is he talking to lost people here? No. Keep that in the very front of your mind, that this entire letter is written to sanctified people, meaning people who already know who Jesus is. They have made their public profession of faith, if you will. They've been baptized in the name of Jesus. All those things, they've done much of what you and I have done. But Paul makes a very clear distinction in a couple ways that we're going to see. And then another thing, I love what he says there. Together, there are 10 words here that I pulled out. To be his holy people, together, and then go on down a little bit, their Lord and ours. So he immediately gives this insight that there's something he's going for here. He said, to their Lord and ours, which we know because we've seen the letter, we've read the, you're going to go there in just a minute. When he has to say it like that, there's some division going on. He's not just my Lord, he's not just yours, he's our Lord. And so Paul sets up, we know this because we can already see, you wouldn't just read that and say, oh, I see where he's going, there's division in the church. You wouldn't do that from that, but looking kind of backwards, you can see that Paul was really going there. Something else that was so important for me to recognize as part of recap here is Paul's heart in this. Someone either wrote Paul a letter, somehow got word to him saying, hey, we're struggling in our church here in Corinth. The church of God in Corinth is struggling. We've got some things going on that we're having difficulty with, Paul, and here some of them are. And Paul doesn't think like I would, well, if there's a problem, fix it. If someone's the problem, fix them. If this needs to change, change that. We all know that does not work in real life, does it? Because if we could change people and fix problems, none of us would be like we are, because someone would have already changed us or fixed us, correct? So Paul, he knows that, and I love it. So important. And Jamie and I sat before you this morning realizing, just like Paul and Steve taught on this last week, we don't have eloquence about us. Jamie does. I don't. Jamie has great eloquence. But we don't sit here on our own accord. We sit here because we want the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to you. And that's what Paul says. That's his driving message here, is it's going to get difficult what I'm going to say to you. But you have to know where this is coming from. And if Paul summed it up in two words, grace and peace, my message to you, and Jamie and I agree on this, for our message to you today, we pray it is received through grace and it provides peace. And so we can look just back to last week. Oh, and in the middle there of chapter 1, Paul points the problem out. After he says, I love you guys. I do. I care for you. I want to see you guys get along. And the important thing to note is there were some people following people in the church. And what Paul says, you're following the ways of the world here. You're following people. You're following human wisdom. You're following all these things you can control. And Paul says, that will come to nothing. All you could spend your entire life and that would come to nothing. And so Paul says, I'm going to really show you the right way here. Through love and through peace. Keep that in mind. It's so important because it's easy to read where we're going to be today and be like, oh yeah, let's point fingers here. Paul didn't do that at all. Mm-hmm. Paul says, I love you. And listen, it wasn't so these people would feel good about themselves and they'd put arms around each other and enjoy each other and have meals together and go on trips together and, you know, have Friday night dinners. It wasn't for that at all. Paul was very clear what it was for. Listen, folks, whenever you are fighting, whenever you have contentions, that means giving groundwork for arguments and quarrels. When you're not getting along, who cares what that makes you look like? That is not making Jesus look good. And Jesus is good. And so Paul's trying to communicate to them, is like, you're fighting, is representing something that Jesus is nowhere about. He doesn't do these things, and that's what's going on in your church. And so Paul, to prove a point, he says this at the beginning of chapter 2. So we're getting close to where we're going. Chapter 2, verse 1, and Pastor Steve taught from this last week. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence, see, I can't even say it, or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in my weakness. With great fear and trembling, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. That had to rock some of those Corinthian churchgoers. That really had to rock them. And if it didn't, they weren't listening to it. I want you to just think for a moment what Paul just said there. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Paul and I, we're just alike. I'm pretty much as spiritually mature as Paul. No takers? I don't even see the students trying to be funny. Yeah, that, no, I'm not going to be funny on that one. I mean, Paul is an author of 13 books. If you have a Bible, 13 books in the New Testament, Paul, he is responsible for that inspiration. Paul's the same guy who says he endured hardship and persecution, sleepless nights, near death. You guys remember the boat crash and then the snake bite? Paul went through all that stuff. And then in Galatians chapter 1, he even says, I was among the top of all the Pharisees. I was zealous for the traditions of my fathers, and I was excelling far beyond all the other guys around me. And yet he says this, I know nothing. I have no eloquence. I have no wisdom. I purposely say no. I will not draw on anything that I have. I will not lean on that. Why? First, most important reason, so that the demonstration of the Holy Spirit may be evident. It's not confused. Was that from Jason or is that from the Holy Spirit? Is that from Paul? Is that from the Holy Spirit? Paul wanted to say, I knew nothing but Jesus. So that the demonstration of the Holy Spirit would be clear. And the second reason, so that their faith might not rest on human wisdom. How many of you guys have ever been following someone and they break your heart and let you down and then you're like, what in the world is going on? Paul knew that. Paul was that way himself, and he understood that. That's why he was so close and so personal with the reasoning. And then the last part there before Jamie takes over here is, so it wouldn't rest on human wisdom, but God's power. So in the form of preaching here, when's the last time you really experienced God's power? It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Good recap. That's the situation surrounding what we're going to look at today. We're going to be in chapter 2, 6 through verse 16. And I'll tell you, I don't know what's coming, because every time I look at this passage, there's just so much in here. And it's almost new every time. The Lord's showing new things and different things. So I don't know what's going to come out to you, but I know that the Lord has a message here. So let's look at that. Let's look at starting there in chapter 6. I'm going to read that. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, because if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who loved Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. See what I mean? There's a lot in there. There's a lot of good stuff in there. First of all, big change in chapter 6, or verse 6. Big change. And Jason and I stopped on this right off. Paul starts out there by saying, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom. We. If we go back up to the first five verses of chapter 2, he says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or wisdom, as I proclaimed the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing. You get it, all right? He's using I for the first five verses, and then he switches to this we in verse 6. And so Jason, as I read through this, and Jason stopped, he says, who is this we? Why have we all of a sudden switched to this we? Who is the we? Do you guys know who the we is? Who's the we? Who said that?
Somebody said something.
What?
Did you hear that?
What?
They got there a whole lot quicker than we did.
They got there a whole lot quicker
than
we did.
Somebody said the Holy Spirit.
I think that's confirmation.
Like, could it be?
Yeah, well, when I looked at that, Jason said, who's the we? And I said, duh, I know who the we is. I go to college. All right? Paul's just lumping himself in with the Corinthian believers. They're close. They're friends. He's been there before. We, together, as Christians, we're all in this together, High School Musical style, all right? So I just assumed. I know. He's just lumping himself in with the Corinthian believers. But Jason says, I don't think so. And we looked at it a little bit, and it can't be, because what he says there is, we, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. A message of wisdom among the mature. And as we've already seen a little bit and are going to see a lot more later, mature and wise is not exactly what we would call the Corinthian believers. In fact, just over in chapter 3, we're going to get there next week, but Paul literally calls the Corinthian believers infants. Because you, Corinthian church, you are babies. You need someone to take care of you. You cannot feed you. You are not mature. You're not mature at all. So who is this we? Who is this mysterious we? I was wrong. So who is it? And so next up, I thought, man, who's this we?
Who well, is we did we? What any people getting ready to teach and preach on a Sunday morning would do. We asked people that would know.
Yeah. We asked people who were smarter than us. We got a lot of answers back. And so I'll tell you, we didn't fully land on where this is, so we're going to present you with the options that we came to. And here's the challenge. You guys dig in for yourselves. And see who you think this we is, and then let us know. Because we haven't really decided yet, so let us know what you come up with, and see. We'll see if we agree, or see if the Lord reveals something to us. But some possibilities of this we, where we first went to, was the Holy Spirit. And I don't think that's wrong, because Paul says, I came to you, not with the eloquent words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So Paul says, just right before where we are, look, I'm not coming to you on my own. I'm not coming to you on my own power. I'm not even coming to you with my own words. Everything that I have in my arsenal, I literally set it down. That's not what I come to you with. I'm not here to persuade you of anything. I'm not here to convince you of an argument. I'm here for a display of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so I think a big possibility of that we is Paul bringing the Holy Spirit into his message and saying, look, you can count on this message because it does not come from me, Paul. It does not come from my human wisdom. It does not come from my scholarly training. This comes directly from God. It's not just from me. So there's one option. I love that option. I think that that's awesome. And so Paul lumping himself in with lumping the Holy Spirit in there and saying, look, I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit. So when I give you this message, it does not come from me, Paul. It comes from we, me and the Holy Spirit. A couple of other options. Corinthian church is not a total loss. There is a group of people in there who are following the leading of the Holy Spirit, who are trying to unify the body. We see those a couple different times in the book of Corinthians. So Paul could be talking about those people, lumping himself in with these Spirit-led people. Same thing. Paul's following the leading of the Holy Spirit. This does not just come from me, Paul. It comes from us, people who follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So it is directly given by the Holy Spirit. And then there's a third option. Paul refers several times, the reason that this church is divided is they're following people. They're following humans. They've picked their candidates, they've picked their leaders, and they've divided themselves into camps. And Paul talks about it in chapter 1, if you can remember all the way back there. He's going to get into it again in chapter 3 next week. Some people are saying, look, I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas, whoever that guy is. I don't know who he is. I follow Paul. And then some other people, I follow Christ. Oh, great. All right, so these people have all made camps behind humans, and then there's also the people who follow Christ. It's lumped in with those three others. I don't think Paul means that as like an encouragement to those people, like, hey, listen to the people who follow Christ. Even those people, there's motive. There's motive in what this church is doing. They're rallying behind different people. They're rallying into different camps, and they have divided their church, and they're arguing over it. And so possibly the we could be Paul talking about the apostles. Paul, Apollos, Cephas, whoever these guys are, the other apostles. Right? That could be a possibility of the we. Either way, same message. This does not just come from me. These people, these leaders that you have picked to divide your church, we all follow the same leader. Why are you dividing yourselves? We ourselves, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, we're not divided. We follow the leading of the Spirit too. So, no matter which path you take to get there, this we leads us all to the same place. And it is to the message that Paul wants to give this church in Corinth. And it's a message of unity under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So what Paul is saying right off the bat is, look, I'm not coming to you on my own. I'm coming to you by the leadership of the Holy Spirit with other Spirit-following believers around me. And so you can take this to the bank because it is not from Paul. It is not from my brain. I did not pick this up on TV. This is straight from the Lord. And so you can count on it. And actually, over in John 8:17, this was interesting. Jason threw this one out. This is the words of Jesus. I'm irresponsible and I didn't mark it. Here we go. In your own law it is written, the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself, and my other witness is the Father who sent me. And so Paul appeals here to the very words of Jesus. Testimony of two people is valid. Jewish people, your very law says that. And so Paul says, I don't come on my own. It's not just one guy. I've got other witnesses. All right. I, Paul, testify for myself. The Holy Spirit testifies for me. My apostle friends testify for me. And even this group of Spirit-following believers in your very own church follow me, or follow the Holy Spirit. All right, so it's a message of unity. And so Paul says, you can count on this. This is directly from the Lord. And that's part of why Jason and I wanted to do this together, too, is this message of two, the Holy Spirit putting people together in unity. All right, and so that's right off the bat. That's going to affect the way we look at the rest of this passage. So I'm going to read that again now that we have this we in mind, this we that we're talking about. All right, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, because if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Sweet. All right, so here's this reliable message from the Holy Spirit through Paul. All right. He says, we don't speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Not the wisdom of this age. I'm not talking about the wisdom of this age. There's worldly wisdom all around. That is not what I'm coming to show you. Paul says, that's not what I want to tell you guys about. Because, why? Human wisdom would probably encourage what they're doing, right? Human wisdom says, let's find somebody responsible to lead us and let's follow them. Great. All right. The only problem is that does cause division. That does cause division, and we see the result of that. And so Paul's saying, stop listening to your human wisdom. Stop listening to your human wisdoms. That's not what I preach to you. That's not what I'm here to preach to you. All right. You're following the wisdom of the rulers of this age, and Paul says what that comes to. Did you see that? The wisdom of the rulers of this age is coming to nothing. Nothing. That's what we get when we follow people, right? Maybe not instantly. We may not even think that. But whenever we follow people, ultimately it doesn't lead to much. Right? People eventually let us down, and we bail on them. I don't want to follow you anymore. You messed up. I'm done with you. Right? Or we follow people. Maybe we do follow people, and we finally get to the end of the line. And think, well, what good did that accomplish? Or ultimately, if we follow someone to death and think, what good was that? I just spent my life following this, and I look back, and it's all a waste. And so Paul gives this promise. Whenever we follow humans, whenever we follow the wisdom of the rulers of this age, it comes to nothing. Don't waste your time there. Don't waste your time there. All right? And then he says, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden. All right? So I'm not talking about human wisdom. I'm talking about a different kind of wisdom, a secret wisdom. Hidden wisdom. It's kind of mysterious, right? What is this secret wisdom? I don't know. Well, actually, I do know. I'll tell you. All right. But God has given this secret wisdom that has been hidden. Did you notice that? Did you notice the tense of that? That has been hidden. Was hidden. Previously hidden. It has been. It's not hidden anymore. All right. The wisdom has been hidden, and God destined it for our glory before time began. This is just a little aside, but I love this. This is so cool, and Jason and I talked about this for a while. Before time began. Love it when the Bible says things like that, before time began. Because that's just a testament to the reliability of God. God is not reactionary. God does not get caught off guard by things. He doesn't look down and think, oh no, what are we going to do here? He doesn't hold council meetings in heaven to try and address problems, right? He had a plan. He had a plan before time even began. And this right here was part of his plan. I will send you a leader to lead you, someone that you can count on that is directly from me, so that you're not dividing yourself between these human leaders. This is God's plan. I will lead you. As my people, I will lead you. He had a plan from the very beginning. Nothing caught him off guard. Everything's going according to plan. God knows exactly what he's doing. Gosh, such great comfort in that. Such great comfort in that. All right, and it is for our glory. God, there is benefit for us in that. It is not just for God's benefit. God has done that partly for us. We get reward out of what God does, and that's so great. And that's part of God's love, is he includes us in what he does. And that's so awesome. All right. So none of the rulers of this age understood this wisdom. If they had, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That speaks again, this hidden wisdom, this unknown wisdom. Nobody knows what this is, right? Nobody knows what it is. But then we have a but. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. This wisdom was previously hidden, has been hidden. It's not hidden anymore. It is completely open to us. And there is reason to rejoice right here, because God has not left his people in the dark. God has not given up on his people. God has not left them. In fact, he has revealed to them by his Spirit this wisdom that was previously unknown, this thing that no one has seen, this thing that no one had heard about, this thing that no mind could even comprehend. I've made it known to you. I have given it to you. I have given you insight into my will, into who I am. And it's revealed to us by his Spirit, by the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit brings us this insight into God, this insight into what God's thinking. And Jason had a great picture of that, a great picture to kind of illustrate that, explain that.
I did.
Yeah, I think.
You should remind me what it was.
Colliding?
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, no problem.
That's the beauty of these live things, right? I have gone now. No, what I finished my last part was saying, by God's power, right? It takes, and listen, this is it. Without the Holy Spirit of God in you today, right now, we're going to talk about how you will receive what we're doing here, how you will receive what comes from this book, how you will receive what comes from our Father God. That Paul addresses that. But here's the thing. If you don't have a closeness with the Holy Spirit of God, not in I'm saved, I'm good, because if that's what you base your faithfulness on, Paul blows that to pieces here in just a few minutes. But to understand and really value and take to heart what Paul is saying here, it requires something that is so far beyond you. Because listen, if it were dependent on a human, Paul would have been more qualified than you and I would ever come close to. But he even said, not even close. It requires the Holy Spirit to help these things make sense. So do a little self-check there for a minute. I had to do this all week long as we were preparing. And by the way, Jamie and I met twice and talked about this and didn't put any notes together. So let's just see what the Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate. And as I kept coming through this, I'm like, oh, that's so good. That's so good. And go here and go here. And I have to remind myself, hey, wait, this is about the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit want? What does he want us to do? And so that's what you're getting here. So as you keep that in mind, we're going to move on here through the text. And the second part of verse 10, where Jamie stopped, says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Okay, so what in the world's going on there? First of all, the Spirit searches all things. We want to convince ourselves that God can only see what's truly going on in our life whenever we're in church. There's certain things you would dare never do in here, in this building, in this room, that you would be totally okay with doing elsewhere. Or there may be certain things that you would or would not do on a Sunday that would be okay on another day, right? Well, sorry, I had to eat this one too, but the Spirit searches all things. So whatever you came in here with, what if you're dragging something over from last night, Spirit searches that. If you walk out of here today and you are in love with Jesus more than you ever have been, which is our hope, that you love Him more when you leave than when you came in, Spirit searches that too. He searches all things. There is nothing off limits when it comes to our Father. And the way He does that, how does God know our thoughts? How does He know what we're doing? Through the Spirit. That's what He says. The Spirit searches all things. Well, what does He do with them when He searches them? Throws out the ones we don't want Him to know about and files away the ones we really want Him to know about. And then we say, see, we are doing pretty good. No, the Spirit searches all things. For who knows the person's thoughts except you? There's a secret part of every one of us. There's that secret part where we feel things, where we hurt, where we're excited. There's a part of us. You know, some of us are blessed to have people in our life that we can be completely transparent with. But yet, there are still things that we think and things that go on inside us that no one knows. The beautiful thing is, God says, I know. I search all things, but there is that part of all of us. Guess what? We were created that way. You were wired up that way. And then it says, only God knows His thoughts. We're going to bring that together towards the end of this, but this thought hit me on these thinking things. Where do your thoughts originate? Interaction. Where do thoughts originate? They didn't cue their cricket thing. It's okay. You can talk. Where do thoughts originate? Okay, in your heart, yeah, definitely. How about in circumstances? You get put into a circumstance, and you may not think that if you had not been there, right? Thoughts originate in a variety of ways, right?
Thoughts from your head.
Yep, from your head. Comes straight out of your head. Mm-hmm. Out of your heart, exactly. So look at what this Paul is contrasting here. A man's thoughts, God already knows them, and God's thoughts. You really know, here it is, you really know you're being led by the power of God through the Holy Spirit when your thoughts collide. Mm. When your thoughts and the Holy Spirit thoughts collide, and you're like, yeah, that's better. I'm going to walk away from that because that is better. And listen, that's not a one-time deal. That's a daily, sometimes minute-by-minute deal. All right, Holy Spirit, I need you to collide my thoughts here. Collide with them. Change my thoughts. Mm. And that's the cool thing is that's what God's in the business of doing. Jamie's going to develop that a little more.
Mm-hmm. Verse 12, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. That's the Spirit we got. God didn't give us a worldly spirit. God gave us His very own Spirit. It's open to us. And that's how the thoughts collide. Who knows your thoughts? Nobody. Only I know what's going on in my head. Who knows God's thoughts? Nobody. Only God knows what's going on in God's head. But God has given us His very Spirit to give us insight into what's going on with Him. And that is how our thoughts collide with His thoughts. God didn't give us a spirit of the world. God didn't give us a dead spirit. God gave us the Spirit of life. God gave us a spirit directly from Him so that we can see into the will of God, so that we can see into the very thoughts of God. Yes. God has not left us in the dark. God has not forced us to pick our own leaders. God Himself leads because He gave us His Spirit, because He has given us insight into what He wants to do. All right? And so that's the Spirit that we have within us. That is how the thoughts collide. God has given that to us. And how has He given it? Freely.
Praise God.
Exactly. Freely. That's crazy. That's crazy. We like wisdom, don't we? We live in an age of wisdom. We value wisdom. Put wisdom on a pedestal, right? How do you get wisdom in the world? Hey, acquire wisdom. Pay for it. I'm part of that right now. I'm in college. I'm paying for somebody else's wisdom. Sometimes I don't even like what I get. All right? That's how we get wisdom in the world. We pay for it. Education, learning. And we got to shell out money for it. God doesn't work in the ways of the world. God doesn't charge you for it. God gives it absolutely free. What a great message. God has given us His Spirit freely. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to do anything for it. It is a free gift. And it is not a selective free gift either. It is freely available to everybody. Because God is loving. And God is generous. God is gracious. And so He gives His Spirit out freely to everybody. You want some? Here, I've got it for you. You want some? Here, I've got it for you. That's our God. He's a God with His hand literally down, saying, I want to give you that. God is a giver, and He gives freely. You want it? Yeah, okay, here you go. That's God. That's God, and that's how God gives us the Spirit freely. It is available to all people. It is available to the Corinthians. It is available to you. The promise is right here in the text. It's been freely given to us. That's a promise for you. I don't know what's holding you back. I don't know what's standing in your way. But this is open to you if you want it. This is open to you. All right? That's all I'm going to do on that. Sorry. All right? This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom. So this is going back, Paul going back to this we. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught to us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Everything, this is just Paul reiterating again, everything that you're hearing is not coming from me. This has been taught to us, the we, directly from God. It has been expressed spiritually in a spiritual language. The Spirit has a language, all right? It doesn't speak in the way that people speak, right? Language of the Spirit is grace. And that is how the Spirit deals with us. And sure, that is totally against human wisdom, right? We're not gracious people. I'm not a gracious person. My gosh, no. All right? It's hard to be gracious, and that's not the human way. It just isn't the human way. And man, if we look through here, if Paul was really following the human way, I think this letter would have gone very differently. Because there is so much to get on to these people about. Come on, guys, you're missing the point. And Paul could be pointing fingers and shaking heads and, you know, getting the paddle out, just getting after these people in anger. And he doesn't, because his message comes from the Spirit, and the language of the Spirit is grace. And it's also truth. The Spirit speaks in truth, only speaks in truth. Can't do anything else. That's the language of the Spirit. That's the way the Spirit deals with the Corinthians. That's the way the Spirit deals with us, in grace and in truth. And the truth does hurt sometimes, right? Truth hurts. I'm looking in the mirror on a daily basis, and I'm seeing the truth up here, and it hurts.
He has no idea.
Not pleased with that. The truth does hurt sometimes, but God is so gracious to us that He doesn't leave us in the lie. There's no grace in that whenever you leave someone in a lie. Because there's no life in lies, right? Spirit deals in truth through grace. I have a message of truth for you, and it may hurt initially, but it is not going to harm you. There's not going to be any lasting damage. In fact, when the Spirit speaks in truth, it is for our healing, not for our hurting.
Amen. Awesome.
And that's the promise we have. God has given us this Spirit, not for our harm, for our benefit, for our health, for our healing. Right? And He deals with us in grace and truth. He doesn't shake the finger. He doesn't get the paddle out. Paul doesn't do that with these Corinthians either, even though he definitely could. And if he was following human wisdom, he would. He deals with these people in grace, the way that the Spirit led him to, with grace and with truth. And that's the Spirit that we have. That's the Spirit that God has given to us, a Spirit of grace and truth. Not a spirit of anger. Not a spirit of worldly wisdom. Not a spirit of division or quarrel. Spirit of grace and truth. And man, when we follow that, there is unity there. unity that is beyond human wisdom, unity that we don't even get. That's awesome.
And it's such a great word about the spirit language. And Jamie said the spirit's language is always grace. And unfortunately, speaking grace is a foreign language to us as human beings. Doesn't matter how sweet you are, doesn't matter how nice you can be, it's just not our nature to speak through a filter, even a lens of grace, because we want justice, right? Oh, that's such a great word, Jamie. I think as we look back on that, as we think about the Spirit-taught words and spiritual realities and that language that the Spirit speaks that's different from our language, colliding the thoughts is important because we've got to be able to hear that language and know what it's saying. But then Paul has this to say, verse 14, the person without the Spirit, meaning the capability to understand that language, he doesn't accept things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And he goes on to say, this person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. So there's something really troubling in that set of verses to me, and then there's something very exciting to it. I'm going to start with the troubling. The troubling is, where did I start with the recap? If you guys remember, who did Paul write this letter to? Corinthian believers. This is the audience. And he says this, the person without the Spirit does not accept these things. Is he talking about somebody on the outside? No, because the context is, if you look right back before, he points back. The evidence of those with the Spirit is you operate in grace. You understand the Spirit's language. That's the evidence of that. And we see in verse chapter 3, he says, and you're not doing that. So this is the troubling thing from my upbringing in church and seminary and Bible class after Bible class after Bible class. This is not really so much taught. But I believe this is what Paul is saying. And listen, you have to catch this for yourself. You have to make a determination for yourself on this. But this is what I think he's saying here. It is entirely possible for you to know who Jesus is and not have any of the Spirit's power at work in you. I think that's what he's saying. Has nothing to do with salvation because he's talking to those who are sanctified. He already addressed them as such. But he's also saying, guys, if you're hearing this, and this is foolishness to you, there's a problem with the Spirit. Not salvation, a problem with the Spirit. I was taught once you get saved, one, you can't lose your salvation. Praise God for that. That's how great our God is. When he gives, he doesn't take away that. Awesome. I believe that. But I was also taught when you get saved, when I got saved, I got all of the Holy Spirit there was to have. Would I not explode? Would we still explode if we had all of the Holy Spirit there was to have? Of course. I'm not trying to confuse you here, but what I'm saying is this. Paul mentions them as infants. What makes you mature? How do you grow? More church attendance? More good deeds? No. It's getting to know the Holy Spirit better. And there's always more. I love this picture. You guys imagine with me for just a minute an ocean. Just vast and wide ocean. And you're on the edge of it. Believe, okay, you're at the edge. You're allowed to see Holy Spirit. He's stamped on you as a seal. So you have that much. He sealed you. Holy Spirit is a seal. Now let's set his power free. If the Holy Spirit is represented as the ocean, he says, come on, jump in. Would you ever figure out all the ocean? You guys seen them searching for that Malaysian airline? You don't hear much anymore because it is lost, is it not? But they were like, you know, trolling the bottom of that ocean and taking pictures of it. And it took, you know, 3 days, basically, what we could see right here. That's how vast an ocean is. There's always more to explore and more to get to know. And that's how the Holy Spirit is. And that's the Holy Spirit. I fully believe, one, the Holy Spirit has revealed to me and telling me to tell you this, is there's always so much more of him. Mm-hmm. Jump in. Mm-hmm. And explore and enjoy. That's where the power of God comes through there. The sad part is that some of those believers placed all of their spiritual on another person. I don't know if you caught, Jamie read it a while ago or said it a while ago. I follow Paul, Cephas, and one of them even pipes in, I follow Christ. Oh, okay, that makes you right. because all these people were picking camps. Jesus doesn't want to camp. He doesn't want us to campaign for him. He doesn't even want us to get behind the cause. One cause, and that's it, and that's the cross, and that's what Paul said. I determined to know nothing except the cross of Christ. And so some of you hear that, and you go, yes. Holy Spirit is speaking language to you right now, saying, yes. It's freely mine. It's abundance. It's more. And some of y'all saying, where is this ocean? When do I jump in? Grab somebody and go. But then there are others, just like this Corinthian church, you know who Jesus is. It's not about that. But you're saying, that's weird. I don't know what you're saying. There's a reason you don't understand, or you think it's strange, or you're having a hard time processing this. It's because it takes the Spirit's power at work to understand what's being taught here. And Paul makes that very, very clear. And then verse 16 is just incredible.
For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Man.
It's open to us. It's open to this church, this group of sanctified believers. We fit that bill, don't we? We are a church of saved people. And maybe we look at these things and we think that's completely unattainable. But we have the mind of Christ. That is what God has given us, the mind of Christ. And he has given us his very Spirit so that we can see these things, discern these things, figure these things out. God is so good to us and he's so generous. And God is a giver. He really is. And God never runs out of gifts for his children, does he? There's always more. God always has more. His gift bag is never empty. It does not run out. You do not reach a point where God sends you a plaque and says, congratulations, you've made it. You now know me completely and are following my will perfectly. Right? Our God is a God of more. There is more. And we are able to see that more because he has given us the mind of Christ. That's a promise. For this Corinthian church and for us. That God has more for us.
And I love how he said, that mind of Christ, that's a promise. In Corinthians, Paul says, all God's promises are yes. Meaning they're always going to be yes. If God makes a promise, the answer to it is yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Jamie says, we have the mind of Christ. Promise? Yes. Yes. Does that scare some of you to think, I have the mind of Christ? Not trustworthy. Exactly. There's something I think that we do need to deal with here in the arena of closing up. And next week, we're going to jump over into chapter 3. And we kind of talked about this, kind of set it up for Pastor Steve. He makes sure he calls them brothers and sisters to further confirm this is to believers, okay? Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. So if you're struggling with more of the Spirit, you have to struggle with Paul in his letter to the Corinthians because he says, I couldn't address you as people who live by the Spirit. And that's alarming that we have the potential and the probability to operate completely out of our flesh as bearers of Jesus' name. And Paul's saying, no, don't do that. I've been at this church for almost 10 years now, and it has flown by. And it's been really good, and it has been really hard. And as I studied this, at times my heart just literally trembled inside me because I see some of the Corinthian church in First Baptist Church, Siloam Springs. There are some really incredible, God-loving, Spirit-filled, Spirit-hearing language people here, and praise God for you. But then there are some others here that are mean and fit the quarreling and the fighting. What do we do with this message today? When we fight, when we quarrel, when we don't get along. Listen, I can say this because I'm in the middle of it. I've had people follow me. I follow Jason. I follow Steve. I follow Reese. I follow whoever's going to do what I want. Paul had a very clear message for the church that operated like that. That will lead to nothing. But the problem is, it does lead to something. Hurt, disunity, fighting, selfishness. I am very well aware that some people didn't come today because I was speaking. I'm very well aware, too, that some of you did come today because Steve wasn't speaking, and shame on both. Shame on both. We are not following a man. And if we're going to follow a man, let's follow one that has the Spirit, that hears the language and has the mind of Christ, and he's operating in it. And if that's not you, then the message of grace says, don't you dare try to make that about somebody else. My hope that today is this, that you don't feel condemned, that you don't feel judged, that you feel loved, and you feel grace, and you're sensing the Holy Spirit saying, I've got more for you right now. Some of you may say, well, how do you do that? Ask. You got Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a stamp there. Just ask. Father God, can I have more of the Holy Spirit? See what he says to you. If he says no, ask him why. And then see what he says to you, and then get that worked out, and then say again, Father God, can I have more of the Holy Spirit? Jamie said it so greatly, is that God is the God of more, and he's such a good giver. So if you, listen, if you have bitterness, if you're following a person and not Jesus and the message of that, because, listen, I'm not saying I haven't done it either. I'm just saying if we, as a church, like the Corinthian church, renounce your involvement with that and say, God, I choose, if you will, through the Spirit, God, I choose to give you my bitterness at this person. What will you give me in return or exchange? And he will trade you up, I promise. Because when you operate in bitterness and forgiveness, well, the cross of Jesus does not look quite like it should. And who's that on? You. Doesn't matter what the other person's doing. Because how dare us, when we look at grace again, how dare us try to impose something upon someone else that we ourselves are not capable of? Jamie and I stand unified here saying we love you. We pray this was received in grace. We're going to have a time of invitation. And this is not your typical, if you need to know Jesus, sure, come on, we'll help you get to know him. But maybe this part of this invitation is, I would like more of the Holy Spirit. Investigate that. You don't have to come down here. There's nothing magic here. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. Searches everything and all things. Maybe it's there. But either way, Jamie and I will be down here. We like to pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. Maybe you just do it there. And if you need a reminder, maybe just try this. Father God, pray that. Father God, will you give me more of your Holy Spirit? See what he says. Yeah. Hey, as a side note too, I would like to hear about that. It always encourages me, especially when God says, yes, and here it is. And people get really excited. So Reese is going to lead us. You come down if you'd like. Jamie and I will be here. We're not going to tarry very long here. So...